Well, the threat to the United States was not really ever that big. Of course, there was what happened on 9/11, which was an almost incredible security lapse, and something like that is unlikely to happen again. And there could be other incidents. The main recruiting ground for terrorism against Western countries is in Europe. And of course, the places where there is the most terrorism is actually within Muslim countries, in Iraq and Syria and Pakistan. So these sorts of attacks can kill people. We need security measures against them, but it's not an existential threat in any sense. In Europe, where there's a very large, much larger than here, in many European countries, Muslim population, something on the order of, it varies from country to country, 10 to 15%, particularly among the young Muslims, feel alienated enough to have some sympathy with terrorism. Only a very small number of those actually do anything, but there is a base of support. And so countries like France or Belgium or Germany actually face more of a problem than we do here in the States.
As you say, the threat to the U.S. has never been that big compared to these other places. You know, the advent of social media changed some of that calculus, no? Because of the ability for organizations like ISIS to reach out to people here in the U.S. and connect with them and inspire them to launch attacks. Do you see any residual or lasting impact of that?
Well, they try, and they do get some people. What they have to find is an alienated population of particularly young Muslims who, for one reason or another, want to strike out because of their sense that they're not receiving the right kind of jobs, that they're discriminated against. And so what social media does is it makes available those people to terrorist propaganda. And so the key variable is how many such people are there who are susceptible to that? And of course, that's why the number of alienated young people willing to join these terrorist organizations is so much greater in countries in the Middle East or in Pakistan, where there are huge numbers of young people who don't have jobs and who can't get married. And in the United States, the available population is quite a bit smaller. And the majority of older Muslims in the United States tend to be quite opposed to, on the whole, to terrorism. And our potential allies in finding out what young people might be susceptible to that kind of influence. But is it going to go away? No, it's not going to go away. Is it going to bring down the United States? Well, certainly not. Is it going to kill some people? It could. It could kill some more people. A lot of people, it's not very likely.
Okay. What do you think of the groups, the organizations that have been out there on the forefront of the in the inspiration of terrorism, Al-Qaeda and ISIS and the Taliban? Are they still as relevant as they were before?
Well, they're certainly very relevant. I mean, you can't forget that their main goal is to take power in their own societies. And so the theory under which they operate is that what they consider to be corrupt regimes, like, for example, the military dictatorship in Egypt, that such regimes are supported by Western powers, particularly by the United States. And so the terrorism is that they want to have is aimed not at taking over the United States or France or Germany, but persuading them that the cost of supporting regimes like the military regime in Egypt or the government in Pakistan, that supporting those is actually a dead end which will only kill some of their people. So their goal is to get the West, and particularly the United States, out of involvement in politics in the Middle East and in other Muslim societies. Are they going to go away? No, they're not going to go away because, in fact, many of those societies are very troubled. And so whether you call it ISIS or Al-Qaeda or the Taliban and who are active in Afghanistan and also in Pakistan, whether it's those organizations or others like them, they'll stay around because those are very troubled societies with a large number of young people who can't find, as I said, employment, who therefore can't get married, who are very frustrated. That's not going to go away, whatever we do. But their goal is to get us out of that region.
All right, 17 years after going to Afghanistan, we're still there, and it doesn't look like the U.S. will be leaving anytime soon. Is that a good idea?
No, it's not. It's not a good idea. I think that the United States has not really figured out that we can't fix these societies. We certainly can't impose democracy. We can't impose the kind of order that would lead to better societies. And by being active in Afghanistan, we've probably created more sympathizers for the Taliban than we have hurt the Taliban themselves. In Iraq, we definitely played a major role in creating ISIS. Whatever the conditions are in those countries, most people don't like to be bossed around and bombed by foreigners, whatever the good intentions of the foreigners might be. And we're not very well equipped to fight long-lasting guerrilla wars. And you know, there's a history of this. We didn't do very well in Vietnam. The French didn't do very well trying to control Algeria, because you can win battle after battle, but you don't eliminate the causes of anger at us, or in the case of Algeria, the French, who were the colonial masters. So you can win battles, you can establish troops there, but it doesn't solve the problem.
Right.
So,
and Afghanistan has been called for a very long time a graveyard of empires because a number of countries have gone there to try to essentially corral or get a hold of that that environment there. The U.S., being there for 17 years, had one idea in mind when it went there: to take away the opportunity for them to strike the U.S. again from Afghanistan. That doesn't seem to have been done. So you still believe that it's a bad thing to be there?
Well, it's a bad thing to be there because it's a bad thing to be there for Afghanistan and for us. We've spent enormous amounts of money, and the government there, the army that we've been training for 17 years isn't any good. The government is corrupt. They keep on getting aid from Pakistan, which we're not going to invade. So we just make the mess worse. And, you know, Afghanistan could disappear from the map, and it wouldn't change the fact that there are organizations in Muslim countries that want to take power and want us out of the region. Mm-hmm. Right now, there are bases for ISIS or ISIS allies in northern Nigeria, in the Sahara Desert, in Niger, in Mali, not counting what's going on in Pakistan or in Balochistan. So it's not as if this is something that is country-specific. It's true that Al-Qaeda was based in Afghanistan, but, you know, the leadership isn't there anymore. There's some their leader is based in Pakistan, and we're not going to invade Pakistan. So there are measures that can be taken trying to prevent their terrorism. But Afghanistan isn't really the essential problem, and we've made things much worse for the Afghans. And by the way, it's not just Afghanistan, you call it the graveyard of empires. Every colonial empire has failed. There was a time in the 19th century, in the early 20th century, when they could work, but they can't. You could call Vietnam the graveyard of empires. The Vietnamese are very proud. They defeated France, and then they defeated the United States. The French were driven out of Algeria. The Portuguese were driven out of Angola and Mozambique. And much of the world views what we're doing as just another example of Western colonialism. And it really doesn't work anymore anywhere.
That's Dan Giroux, professor of international relations at the University of Washington. J.J. Green, WTOP News.